Welcome to Old School Lab, Top Loop Warp in Ableton Live 12, Advanced Edition. In this lesson, we're taking a classic old school top loop and turning it into a tight, tempo-locked, drum and bass rhythm layer that still keeps its human swing, grit, and attitude. This is one of those techniques that can quietly lift a track from sounding like a nice loop to sounding like a finished record. What we're dealing with here is the top end of a break, hats, snare snap, ghost notes, little shuffles, tiny bits of air between the hits. That material is gold in DNB, because it gives you motion without messing with the low end. But if you warp it badly, it gets smeared, facey, and lifeless. So the goal is not to sterilize it. The goal is to control it. Let's start with the source. Choose a loop that has character, but not too much low end bleed. You want crisp hats, some snare or rim energy, and preferably a break or percussion strip with a little swing. Old school top loops from Amen style material, funk breaks, or chopped percussion are perfect for this. You're not hunting for a polished loop here. You want something a little dusty, a little unpredictable, and full of transient detail. Drag that audio into an audio track and audition it against your project tempo. For modern jungle or rollers, you're probably around 170 to 175 BPM. If you're working darker and halftime leaning, you might sit a bit slower. At this stage, don't trust your ears completely yet. The loop might seem close to the grid, but old source material often has hidden timing drift. Now open clip view and turn warp on. For most old school top loops, start with beats mode. That's usually the best choice because it keeps the transient shape punchy. If the loop is especially percussive and snappy, beats will preserve that attack far better than a smoother warp mode. If the loop is more washy, blended, or full spectrum, then Complex Pro can work, but use it carefully. It can soften the attack, which is sometimes nice for intros, but not ideal if you want hard drum and bass impact. In beats mode, set the transient handling so the loop stays sharp. A preserve setting around 1/16 or 1/8 is a good starting point for busy material. Keep transients high, around 80 to 100, and keep envelope low if you want it tight and dry. The whole point is to preserve the language of the break without making it sound chopped to death. Now zoom in and find the true downbeat. This part matters a lot. Old school loops often do not start exactly on the first downbeat. You might be looking at a pickup hat, a ghost note, or a little leadin before the real groove lands. So set the clip start marker carefully. Then use warp markers only where needed. Maybe one near the first snare, maybe one near a late hat cluster if the loop drifts. But don't go placing markers on every single transient. That's how you kill the feel. The best mindset here is to correct timing errors, not to quantize life out of the loop. If the groove has push and pull, keep it. In jungle and rollers, a little unevenness can be exactly what makes the loop feel alive. Here's a nice advanced move. Duplicate the clip and try two different alignments. Make one version perfectly locked, and another version nudged slightly late, just a few milliseconds. That tiny offset can create a more human feel. You can blend the two at a low level, or alternate between them in different sections for variation. Next, clean up the low end. Since this is a top loop, you do not want it fighting with your kick or sub. Put EQ8 after the clip and high pass is somewhere around 150 to 250 Hz, depending on the source. If you need it tighter, use a steeper slope. If the loop feels boxy, cut a little mud around 300 to 500 Hz. And if there are nasty stick or hat spikes, check the upper mids around 6 to 9 kHz. This is a big one in drum and bass. The top loop should support groove, not compete with the engine of the track. If there is a little snare body in the loop that adds energy, great, but be honest about whether it's helping or crowding your main snare and kick. If you want that more old-school centered feel, add utility after EQ8 and collapse the loop to mono. That can make it feel more focused and solid, especially in the middle of a dense mix. You can always widen it later for transitions if needed. Now let's make it move across the arrangement. A static loop gets old fast, especially in a DNB track where the energy needs to develop over time. Add auto filter and use it to create an introduction and opening motion. A high pass or band pass filter works well here. Start with a cutoff lower, maybe in the 300 to 600 Hz zone for a lo-fi entrance, then automate it open so the full top end detail comes forward as the section develops. This is a very practical arrangement trick. For the first few bars, let the loop feel distant and filtered. Then open it up across 8 or 16 bars. When the drop hits, snap it back to full bandwidth. That simple motion gives the loop a sense of arrival. You can also automate clip volume or fade in and out at phrase edges. That's especially useful If you're making a DJ-friendly intro or a roller where the top loop slowly reveals itself while the kick and sub stay stable underneath. Now, if the loop has a strong swing or micro-timing feel, right-click and extract the groove. This is where the loop stops being just a layer and starts becoming a rhythmic reference. Pull that groove into the groove pool, then apply it selectively to other elements like ghost hats, percussion fills, snare layers, or closed hat MIDI parts. Keep the groove amount moderate, around 20 to 50%. You want humanization, not a wobbling mess. This works beautifully in DNB because you can keep the main kick and snare pattern tight while letting the top percussion breathe. That contrast between rigid backbone and loose top end swing is a classic tension device. Once the warp feels right, print it, resample or record the loop to a new audio track. This gives you a committed version you can edit like normal audio. From there, you can slice it, reverse bits of it, pull out ghost notes, or rebuild fills around the snare answers. You can also use sliced a new MIDI track if you want the loop broken into drum rack pads for finger drumming or resequencing. For sharp, percussive old-school tops, transient-based slicing usually works best. Then don't overplay it. In advanced DNB, a few carefully placed hat bursts or snare flicks often hit harder than endlessly busy programming. Now let's build a two-layer top system. Keep one version relatively clean, high-passed, narrow stereo and maybe only lightly saturated. Then create a dirtier version for drops and transitions. For the dirty layer, try drum bus with a touch of drive and crunch. Keep boom off unless you want some extra low mid character. You can also use saturator with a small amount of drive and soft clip-on, or a very light overdrive if you want more nasal mid-range edge. The trick here is restraint. The dirty layer should sit underneath the clean one, not replace it. Blend it quieter than you think. Often it's 6 to 12 dB lower, and you only bring it up when the arrangement needs extra bite. Now think about phrase logic. Don't just loop the top layer for 64 bars and call it done. Treat it like a performer in the arrangement. In the intro, keep it filtered and restrained. In the build, open it up and add small fills or reversed hits. On the drop, let the main warped loop lock in with the bass phrase. A few bars later, mute it for a beat or a bar to create impact. Then bring in a resampled fill or dirty variation for the next phrase. That one bar absence can be huge. Sometimes taking the loop away is what makes the return feel heavy. If you're building a roller, keep the top loop stable and let the bass do more of the movement. If you're making jungle or darker, heavier material, let the top loop evolve more aggressively in the second half of the drop with extra hats, chop transients, or a more animated variation. Before you wrap up, check the drum bus. Route the loop layers to a drum group or drum bus and do gentle shaping. A little glue compressor can help. Maybe 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction, with a fairly relaxed attack and medium release. Use EQ for tiny corrective moves rather than big tone changes. And always check mono with utility, because a loop that feels exciting in stereo can collapse badly on a club system if the core groove depends too much on width. If the loop feels too sharp against the snare, try a small dip in the 3 to 6 kHz area. If it disappears, don't just crank the highs. A touch of saturation or a slightly narrower stereo image can often make it feel more solid and present. A few advanced mindset notes to keep in mind. Listen for pocket, not perfection. If the loop has a convincing push-pull feel, preserve it. Use transient contrast as your main tool. The loop should have clear attack separation from the kick and snare body. Print changes early. Once the warp feels good, commit it to audio and work from there. And always compare the loop in context. A solo loop can sound amazing, but once the bass line and snare layers are active, it may need less energy than you think. If you want to go further, try alternate warp sources inside the same section. Use one loop for the first four bars and a slightly different warp take for the next four. Or make a negative groove version by removing some of the busiest ghost notes, so the remaining accents hit harder. You can even offset a duplicate by a few milliseconds for a subtle width effect without obvious chorus. Here's the main takeaway. Old-school top loop warping in Ableton Live 12 is about control, not perfection. Pick a loop with character, warp it in a way that preserves its transient language, clean the low end, extract groove if it adds value, and then shape it across the arrangement like a real instrument. That's how you get groove, tension, and movement above the kick and sub, which is exactly where a lot of the personality in drum and bass lives. Now it's your turn. Grab a dusty top loop, lock it to tempo, and make it feel like it was built into the tune from day one.